Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
stocks around the world fall with Chinese equities leading declines.
The yuan weakens after China's central bank loosens monetary policy.
And assets in Brazil are set to rally after round one of that country's presidential election.
President Trump says he hopes to see North Korea's Kim Jong-un after a visit from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, plus more on a horrific limo crash. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A heartbreaking loss for the Giants at Carolina. The Jets beat Denver. The Rangers lost. And the Yankees and Red Sox have their big game three tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/YIB to learn more.
Stocks around the world are lower as we begin a new trading week. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 76, NASDAQ futures down 25, the DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. The U.S. bond market closed today for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 75 cents to $73.59 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $7.90 to $1,197.60 an ounce. John.
Beginning in Asia, Karen, where Chinese stocks plummeted after returning from a week-long holiday. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally is in Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Karen. The CSI 300 plunged by 4.3% to close at 3,290 points, its biggest one-day drop since February 2016. Bloomberg data show foreigners sold $1.4 billion worth of Chinese stocks through the Shenzhen and Hong Kong links today, while the sentiment saw markets from Sydney to Hong Kong also sold off. Monday's sell-off in mainland Chinese equities was the worst start to the month of October following the Golden Week break since 2008. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. China's currency is weaker after the central bank cut the amount of cash lenders must hold as reserves. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
It's the fourth triple R cut this year by the PBOC. Stocks still tanked, but it could have been worse. Policymakers are trying to shore up the slowing economy in the midst of the trade war with the United States. The full percentage point cut will release $175 billion. Now, the PBOC maintains this is prudent, neutral monetary policy and won't put downward pressure on the currency. It will substitute for existing instruments, and the remaining money will offset tax payment pressures in October. Still, some like Pantheon Macroeconomics say we find this hard to swallow. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks a lot. The onshore yuan is weakening this morning to catch up with last week's drop in the offshore market. David Finnerty covers markets for Bloomberg.
The PBOC did its fixing slightly stronger than the market expected. So we knew that the yuan would open weaker because it was playing catch up. But I think the fact that the fixing was slightly stronger than the market expected is a signal saying that it could be a slow grind towards 7.0 for dollar yuan.
And right now, the Chinese currency is at 6.92 per dollar. That's down about 0.8%.
In Brazil, stocks, bonds, and the real could rally today after the candidate favored by investors led the first round of Brazil's presidential election. Bloomberg's Julia Leite reports from Sao Paulo.
Far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro came in with about 46% of the vote compared to his closest opponent, Fernando Haddad, who came in at 29. Bolsonaro performed better than polls had expected, but still did not have the outright majority to win this in the first round. So both of the candidates will now go into a runoff on October 28th. Brazilian assets are expected to continue their rally on Monday, not only on Bolsonaro's strong showing, but also on the impression that Congress swung a bit to the right as well, and that might make it easier for Bolsonaro to pass some of the reforms that are included in his economic agenda, including pension reform and other things that investors see as needed for Brazil to fix its fiscal accounts. Julia Leite, São Paulo, Bloomberg.
And the Norwegian Nobel Committee has announced the recipients of its 2018 Nobel Prize in Economics this morning. Yale professor William Norhaus and Stern School of Business professor Paul Romer received the award for their work on integrating an understanding of climate change into economic science.
Here in the U.S., Treasury yields remain in focus despite cash trading being closed for Columbus Day. Traders are pricing in another rate hike from the Federal Reserve this year, but St. Louis Fed President James Bullard says he doesn't think the central bank needs to move much higher.
We're at a good level of rates today for our environment today. We don't have to be projecting planned rate hikes at this point. We can react to data as it comes in. We can feel our way and see where we want to go. But I don't think it's a situation where we need to get a lot higher with the policy rate in order to contain inflation, because there just isn't that much inflation pressure.
Bullard is not a voting member of the FOMC this year, but will vote on policy next year.
And we won't have to wait long for the next reading on U.S. inflation. We get data on producer prices Wednesday and consumer prices on Thursday. Economists forecast gains of 0.2% for both readings.
In Germany, industrial output unexpectedly fell for a third month. Output slowed 0.3% in August. The median estimate called for a gain of 0.3%. Capital goods and construction led declines as global trade tensions place a strain on German manufacturers.
Italian bonds are falling as the government sticks to its position on next year's controversial budget. Italy's coalition leaders are shrugging off attacks on their fiscal plan with just 1 week to go before proposals are due to the European Commission.
South Africa's currency weakening after word that the country's finance minister has offered to resign. The news comes just days before a Moody's Investor Service assesses South Africa's credit rating and just 2 weeks before a crucial midterm budget statement. Right now, the rand is at 14.90.
And the 17th successful mission this year for SpaceX is in the books. Elon Musk's rocket company launched a commercial satellite for Argentina last night. The rocket's first stage returned and landed at a California Air Force base 8 minutes after launch. That's the first time a SpaceX rocket's first stage returned safely to Earth. You're listening to Bloomberg. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reported progress at a meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Pyongyang. Bloomberg's Mark Mills reports.
The State Department said Pompeo and Kim refined options for the location and date of a second summit between President Trump and the North Korean leader. They agreed to instruct their respective working-level teams to meet soon to intensify discussions on the key remaining issues. Secretary of State Pompeo told South Korean President Moon Jae-in upon his arrival in Seoul that Kim had agreed to meet with Trump as soon as possible, according to a statement from Moon's office. Yesterday, President Trump tweeted that Pompeo had a good meeting with Chairman Kim today in Pyongyang, and I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim again in the near future. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Secretary Pompeo cited a fundamental disagreement with China's foreign minister during a testy exchange in Beijing that highlighted rising tensions between the world's two largest economies. Pompeo's retort came after China accused the U.S. today of escalating trade disputes. The investigation continues into a deadly limousine crash over the weekend in upstate New York. All 18 people in the limo were killed, along with two pedestrians in Schoharie, about 40 miles from Albany. The limo, carrying several couples to a birthday party, failed to stop at an intersection before the crash. NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says his investigators will be at the site for several days.
We look at the vehicle factors. We look at the roadway. We look at survival factors. We look at the condition of the drivers, the licensing of the drivers. We look at the operator itself, the company.
It's the deadliest transportation accident in the U.S. since 2009. Florida Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency in 26 counties across the Florida Panhandle and Big Bend as the state continues to prepare for a probable hurricane to hit at midweek.
Today is the time to get a plan. Do not put it off. There isn't any reason not to be prepared to keep your family safe.
Tropical Storm Michael is forecast to become a Category 2 hurricane when it hits the Florida Panhandle. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Marr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, a year ago, the Giants lost a game in Philadelphia on a 61-yard field goal at the end. Yesterday in Charlotte, it was a 63-yarder. By Graham Gano, there had not been a game-winning 63-yard field goal in the NFL since Tom Dempsey in 1970. The Panthers won a wild one, 33-31. The Giants came from 11 down in the fourth quarter. They scored 30 in a game for the first time in 38 games. Still lost. Eli Manning, touchdown passes to Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley, and Beckham threw a 57-yarder to Barkley. Before the game, there was a pregame interview with Beckham where he criticized Manning and his new coach, Pat Shurmur, who was asked about it later.
All right, listen, I'm going to answer all the drama questions right now, and I'm going to go back to what I said, all right? I addressed it with Odell. I addressed it with our team. I publicly declared that I didn't agree with his comments, and I asked anybody that was interested if they wanted clarification. Go to Odell, because he's a big man.
Shermer's Giants 1-4. Jets are 2-3. Their first win since the opener. A rout of Denver 34-16. They rushed for 323 yards. A club record 219 from Isaiah Crowell. Jets in the second quarter had TDs of 77 and 76 yards, 3 minutes apart. Yankees and Red Sox, having split two in Boston, have a big game three tonight in the Bronx. Luis Severino against Nathan Eovaldi. Last night, the Braves stayed alive. Blew a 5-0 lead. Freddie Freeman homered in the sixth for a 6-5 win over the Dodgers. We're still up 2-1. Brewers completed a sweep of the Rockies with a second straight shutout, 6-0. The Rangers are 0-3. They lost 8-5 at Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And after this weekend's win against the Red Sox, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge left the Fenway faithful with a little Frank Sinatra on his way out of town. Judge walked past Fenway Park early Sunday with New York, New York blaring from a boombox atop his luggage. The Yankees in Boston face off again tonight in the Bronx. Right now, S&P futures down 6. The Dow futures 81 points lower. This is Bloomberg. And the Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Futures lower this morning. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. U.S. bond market closed today for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 81 cents to $73.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $8 to $11.97.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1477. The yen, 113.36. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell insists the Senate's not broken following the heated confirmation process for newly confirmed Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. McConnell does call the current partisan divide a low point, but he blames it on the Democrats. In baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox as their American League Division Series is tied at a game apiece. In the NFL, the Jets won. The Giants, Ravens, Raiders, and 49ers all lost. The Redskins play tonight. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And Michael, thank you. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. Helping us do that in New York this morning, Joe Weisenthal, the head of the America's News Desk. In Beijing, we're joined by Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. And in London, the European News Director David Merritt. Emma, let's start with you. What the heck happened? Chinese stocks slumping to begin the week.
That's right. It was the first day people could trade Chinese equities in a week after the Golden Week holiday here. And a lot has happened in that period to cause investors to be bearish. There was Mike Pence, the U.S. Vice President, ramping up the rhetoric in the U.S.'s fight with China over alleged election interference and the trade war, of course. And there was also Bloomberg's story on China allegedly hacking computer motherboards, which triggered big tech share losses last week that China missed out on. The Shanghai Composite Index, it slumped the most since June today as everyone from JP Morgan to Nomura give up their bullish calls on the market. This sell-off came despite the Chinese central bank seeming to want to head it off at the pass. They eased up liquidity conditions on Sunday with their fourth cut to banks' reserve requirements this year, but it wasn't enough.
And Joe, the U.S. markets, I feel like we got blindsided by rates. Didn't anybody see that coming?
We all knew the rate hikes were coming. No, I mean, I do think there's a range of concern, some of it related to the Fed. Some of it's not. I mean, you know, as you say, we all knew the rates were coming, so sometimes people just sell for the sake of selling.
And we, talking of selling, we're going to sell more debt. The Treasury is. Is that going to have any impact? And I imagine there's appetite for it out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried. Treasury does a pretty good job of selling its debt, and people always show up.
Okay, speaking of bonds, David, Italian bonds. The stock slide, the budget standoff with the EU continues. It's a gift that keeps giving to journalists.
That's right. It's another brutal day for Italian assets this morning. Heavy selling in bonds. We've had the 10-year yield above 3.5%, first time since 2014. Stocks are down. Some of the banks were halted earlier in Milan. Why? Because there's this ongoing fight about the budget, and the rhetoric's really being ramped up. Salvini, Matteo Salvini, he's the deputy prime minister of Italy, saying this morning that Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission, he is the real enemy and his austerity policies. So they're flinging around the insults. We've got another week to go until this budget, this very contentious budget, has to be presented formally to the EU, but the rhetoric is increasing and investors really taking fright.
Speaking of rhetoric, Joe, the Kavanaugh fight over the weekend and before that, igniting passions. What does it mean for the midterms, and what do the midterms mean for investors?
I would say two things. One is there was this perception that Republicans are very unmotivated for the midterms. Supposedly now in the post-Kavanaugh moment, they are more enthusiastic and inclined to vote. So some people think that's going to help. On the other hand, the polls still very much favor the Democrats. So even enthusiasm can't necessarily make up for the fact of more people say they're Democrats. As for the midterms, I don't know about what the outcome will be and how that will affect investors. But we had this great guest on TV recently talk about how if Trump is saving anything up, like things like really dramatic trade war actions that he didn't want to rock the market prior to the midterms, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the immediate days after and whether we get even more of the full Trump after November 6th.
Okay. Emma, back to Beijing. The annual meetings of the IMF and the World Bank Group, they're being held in Bali, Indonesia, tomorrow. I hope you're going.
Unfortunately, I'll be here in Beijing, but yeah, the guardians of the world economy will not. They'll be on the lovely resort island of Bali. At what is a pretty uncertain time, though, for the world economy. You've got central banks, you know, grappling with the normalization after a decade of historically low interest rates. You've got finance ministers in places like India and elsewhere hamstrung by debt built up during that period. Then governments pushing nationalist, not very globalist agendas and really grappling with the fallout from that. Headaches such as Brexit, obviously the trade war. We've got surging oil prices and, of course, volatile currencies. The slump in emerging markets will also no doubt be key to this discussion. We do expect the IMF to revise down its growth forecast for the world economy at that annual meeting.
David, back to you in London. The other story that never ends, May's mounting workload and Brexit.
That's right. Yes, I hesitate to say we're reaching the end stage of these talks because we've been here before. But there is an important milestone coming up, which is if we're going to get a withdrawal agreement, there has to be some agreement reached. What we're going to get this week is we're hearing an official offer from the British on how to fix the Northern Ireland border. That's one of the main sticking points. We're going to get those details possibly today or in the next few days. So those will be really closely watched by investors.
And Joe, let me wrap up with you. The unloved bank stocks. So we get earnings this week, and well, the interest rates are up, so maybe that's going to help net interest margins.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. Earnings season overall coming up very fast. But as always, we sort of kick it off with the banks. Will be interesting to see if the increased interest rates actually translates into increased business, because while in theory some of the lending sides of the business help from a steeper curve, anything that would lead to a slowdown in housing and cars and capital markets would counteract that. So we'll be a lot to dive into with the banks.
Joe, thanks a lot. Joe Wiesenthal, the head of the America's News Desk here in New York, and Beijing, Emma O'Brien, and in London, thanks to European News Director David Merritt. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank, from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are lower as we begin a new trading week. Chinese shares were the hardest hit, falling more than 4%. At the same time, China's central bank cut the amount of cash lenders must hold as reserves. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
A reserve ratio cut for China's banks, the fourth this year, did little to dispel the gloom hanging over Chinese stocks. The move will free up $175 billion of liquidity. It's been seen by economists as further evidence of a shift by policymakers here towards an easing bias in the face of an economic slowdown and a trade war with Washington. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg, Beijing.
All right, thanks, Tom. U.S. stock futures are also falling after the worst week in a month for American equities and a rout in treasuries. The bond market is closed today for the Columbus Day holiday.
This week's economic calendar will be highlighted by reports on inflation. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Look for data on producer, consumer, and import prices. Fed officials raised interest rates last month and signaled they'll tighten again before the end of 2018 to keep inflation in check. A major issue, the impact of White House tariffs on business and consumer costs. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinnie. And Italy's bonds are continuing their sell-off today as the government refuses to bow to criticism over its budget.
South Africa's rand is weakening on reports the finance minister sought to resign.
And William Nordhaus and Paul Romer have won the 2018 Nobel Prize in Economics. The Yale professor and Stern School of Business professor received the award for their work on integrating an understanding of climate change into economic science. And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index report. The VIX rose on Friday to close out at 1482. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX right now is up about 10%, up 1.46 at 1628. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
And futures are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 97, NASDAQ futures down 30, the DAX in Germany is down 0.8%, CAC in Paris down 0.9%, FTSE 100 down 0.6%. The U.S. bond market closed today for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or $1.16 to $73.18 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $8.30. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Ray Katina Jaguar. When choosing a luxury SUV that's affordable too, lease a 2018 Jaguar E-Pace from Ray Katina Jaguar of Addison. And with news from around the world this morning, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrapped up his fourth trip to Pyongyang, spending just hours on the ground meeting with Kim Jong-un about denuclearizing the country. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
U.S. officials said the visit went better than Pompeo's previous trip, but conceded there was a long haul ahead. Meanwhile, North Korea state media said Kim was satisfied with the productive and wonderful talks, which included discussing options for location and date for a second meeting between President Donald Trump and Kim this year. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican colleagues of Senator Susan Collins of Maine are applauding her key vote to support Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court. Collins on CNN's State of the Union says she found testimony from Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, to be heart-wrenching, but still supports Kavanaugh.
I do not believe that Brett Kavanaugh was her assailant. So I do believe that she was assaulted. I don't know by whom, and I'm not certain when.
Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii has a different view of Kavanaugh.
The partisanship that he showed was astounding, and the conspiracy theory that he accused us of behaving in was bizarre.
Hirono spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Tropical storm Michael with 60-mile-an-hour winds is churning toward the U.S. Gulf Coast. Florida Governor Rick Scott declared a state of emergency in 26 counties ahead of the storm's possible landfall. In Brazil, stocks, bonds, and the country's currency could rally today after the candidate favored by investors led the first round of the presidential election. Bloomberg's Bruce Douglas reports from Brazil.
Jair Bolsonaro, a far-right former army captain, stormed to a huge lead in the first round of Brazil's presidential elections on Sunday. The result puts the seven-time congressman, who glorifies Brazil's period of military rule, on track for victory in the second round on October 28th. Then he will face leftist Workers' Party candidate Fernando Haddad. In Brasilia, Bruce Douglas, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And thank you, Michael. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, the Giants hadn't scored 30 points in a game since 2015, but when Eli Manning threw a touchdown pass to Saquon Barkley with just over a minute to play, they led 31-30 at Carolina, but the game was not over.
From 63 yards away, wow, Graham Gano to win the game, 6 seconds left. Snap, spot. Gano's kick is long, it's end over end, and this kick is good!
Oh, he did it! He did it!
Panthers Radio, the call of the first NFL game to end with a field goal that long since 1970. The Panthers won 33-31. Manning threw not only the late TD pass to Barkley, but a long one to Odell Beckham. And Beckham threw an even longer one to Barkley. But Manning was intercepted twice on consecutive second-half throws, and the Giants are 1-4. Better day for the Jets, a 34-16 rout of Denver with Isaiah Crowell setting a Jets record 219 rushing yards. Sam Darnold only completed 10 passes, but three went for touchdown. Last night, Houston beat Dallas in overtime. Yankees and Red Sox game three tonight in the Bronx. Luis Severino against the ex-Yank Nathan Eovaldi. The Yanks in the last two seasons are 7-0 at home in the postseason. Atlanta Braves back home beat the Dodgers 6-5. Ronald Acuna, a grand slam, and Freddie Freeman snapped a five-ball tie with a sixth-inning homer. The series is 2-1. L.A., the winner of this series, plays Milwaukee in the NLCS. Brewers back-to-back shutouts. Yesterday, 6-0 to Colorado to finish a sweep of the Rockies. The Rangers lost 8-5 at Carolina. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. The fight to legalize sports betting in the nation's capital is heating up. Nancy Lyons has more on that from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
D.C. Councilmember Jack Evans is pushing a proposal he hopes will pass in time for Major League Baseball's 2019 season.
There would be a 10% tax levied on gross revenues. Also, the bill would allow online betting as well.
Bloomberg tax reporter Ryan Preet says 7 votes are needed for the bill to pass. Evans says he has them. What is not known is how much it would bring to the city and whether it will be met with any opposition.
There is an October 17th hearing on the bill, and I've heard from 2 different council members that if there is any opposition, it will arise during this hearing.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Nancy. And it is now 6:38 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. The tight labor market is forcing small business owners to raise compensation to attract the right workers. The net percent of small U.S. firms in a survey by the National Federation of Independent Business that had actual compensation changes over the last 3 months rose to a record 37%. There are more job openings than job seekers. 87% of small business owners reported few or no qualified workers. And those job applicants that are out there aren't exactly the cream of the crop. A separate survey asked about typical reasons why an applicant was unqualified. 26% of owners identified the lack of a specific skill. 16% identified a poor work history. Owners also cited social skills, attitude, and appearance as disqualifiers, reports of small business job openings, were the most frequent in construction, manufacturing, transportation, and wholesale trades. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And it is now 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump has secured Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has kept his promise to plow right through all obstacles. But the country will bear the costs of their victory, and the toll could be grave. The worst damage doesn't arise from Kavanaugh's unfitness for the position. The greater harm comes from an enormous stride toward a radically politicized Supreme Court. Maybe, as passions cool, Kavanaugh will again be able to conduct himself with judicial propriety. But reasonable people will doubt whether this is possible. As much as half of the country will regard this appointment as illegitimate because the charges against Kavanaugh weren't convincingly denied or thoroughly investigated. One hopes that Kavanaugh will do all he can to help repair the damage to the court and his own reputation. Even so, the toxins released by this debacle threaten to poison the court and the country for years to come. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And our editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Just ahead, Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure following weakness in Europe and Asian markets. Dow futures currently down 88 points. S&P's dropped 7.5 and NASDAQ futures declined by 27. And note the U.S. bond market is closed for Columbus Day. Gold and oil are lower, and Shanghai fell 3.7% overnight after being closed for a week, while European markets are also under pressure, led by 2.4% declines in Italy. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And in deal news, Baker Hughes to pay $550 million for a 5% stake in ADNOC's drilling units. Wrapping things up, General Electric was upgraded to overweight at Barclays. Price target there, 16. Kimberly-Clark was downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, and iRobot downgraded to neutral over at Piper. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Secretary of State Pompeo cited a fundamental disagreement with China's foreign minister during a testy exchange in Beijing that highlighted rising tensions. China accused the U.S. today of escalating trade disputes and meddling in the country's domestic affairs. A UN report out today warns that time is running out to limit the rise in global temperatures due to climate change. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, preventing an extra single degree of heat could be the difference between life and death in the next 10 decades. In baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox as their American League Division Series is tied at a game apiece, Game 3 tonight. In the NFL, the Giants lost to the Panthers, a heartbreaker, 33-31. The Jets won, the Ravens, Raiders, and 49ers all lost. Redskins play the Saints tonight. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, look at that fish face. It's not an insult in this case. Millions of Atlantic salmon could have their faces stored in digital databases to track their health and threats against them. Fish farming giant Cermaq developed a 3D scanner that can tell salmon apart based on their distinct patterns of spots around their eyes, mouth, and gills. Johnny wants to roll out the technology along with Norway's coastline to prevent the spread of epidemics like sea lice.
They can have like little IDs, the fish?
And then they got to go through metal detectors after that. I have my own
interesting
way of determining.
Thank you, fish face.
Yeah. Hey, you. we are not on the 7-second delay. Huh? Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I love you, man. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include this morning Secretary of State Mike Pompeo receiving a frosty reception in China. Brent Kavanaugh set to hear his first argument as Supreme Court Justice. That's tomorrow, in less than 30 days until voters head to the polls for the midterm elections. Let's get more on these stories now with Bloomberg's Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, let's start with geopolitics and the peripatetic Mike Pompeo. How's this visit going?
Well, it's been a bit of a rough one for Mike Pompeo in Asia. He started out with a visit to Pyongyang, and walking into it didn't have a whole lot of leverage. And I think that, you know, the North Koreans pretty much made that clear from the time he landed on the tarmac. And they said, basically, you know, your bodyguard can't bring his gun. There's only three people allowed in the meeting. They put a lot of restrictions on him. And I think that was meant symbolically to show kind of who's boss.
Okay. And Beijing didn't go much better, did it?
No, it really didn't. I think in Beijing, what we're seeing is, you know, this kind of the test the exchange. And I think what we're seeing is kind of the trade tensions, the fallout from the trade tensions that have spilled over into, you know, military tension and, you know, tension on a range of other issues. It just sounds like it's a difficult time for U.S.-China relations, and that's being reflected in the meetings that Pompeo is having in Beijing and Pyongyang.
All right, back to domestic issues. Brett Kavanaugh, he's going to hit the ground running. His confirmation, though, could have broad repercussions in the election next month. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are basically just less than a month now out from the midterm elections. Democrats, since, you know, after Trump was elected, have basically had their sights on this midterm election and wanting to win control of the House and potentially even the Senate. Things were looking like they were going their way in terms of the political winds blowing in their direction. But, you know, I think that Republicans are now feeling a bit emboldened because they feel like this fight over Brett Kavanaugh has energized their base. And so I think the thinking is that perhaps this could have eroded some of the enthusiasm edge that Democrats were enjoying up until this point. And so it really kind of crystallizes the what's at stake in the midterms. And, you know, I think Democrats who had been on offense are now playing a little bit of defense, which isn't a great position to be in less than a month out.
Okay, now that he's on the Supreme Court, what's Kavanaugh's first case going to be?
So he's going to start hearing a couple of kind of low-profile cases at the outset. But later this term, he could hear a case that does have some implications or potentially could have some implications for the president and some of the legal matters that the president has been drawn into. There's a case coming up that basically would deal with whether or not state and federal prosecutions can both proceed related to the same matters. And so that's something that could affect whether or not, if someone like Paul Manafort, for instance, was convicted, who has been convicted, and if Trump were to issue a pardon, whether, you know, he or someone like him could then face charges at the state level. So that's kind of a big issue that's coming up. There's also later this term going to be a case that involves sexual discrimination or job discrimination based on sexual orientation. And that's one that people are going to be watching very closely. But I think the sense in the first couple of days is not necessarily that the stakes are so high, but just to see kind of how Kavanaugh conducts himself on the bench. He's someone that was a very kind of avid questioner when he was on the appeals court. And so I think that, if he's going to be speaking up and asking a lot of questions and what types of questions, I think people are going to be watching that very closely.
Okay. Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine, she's under a lot of scrutiny for her vote. That's prompted calls from somebody, someone to step up and oppose her. So give us the update on that.
Yeah, so she's up for re-election in 2020, so two more years. And I think that she's basically going to have a target on her back now, having been the decisive vote for, in favor of Kavanaugh. I wouldn't be surprised if she draws a pretty stiff, a stiff challenge. She's someone who's, you know, a moderate traditionally in, you know, Maine, which is a more moderate state. But I think that, you know, she could, this vote could put her, could end up being a liability for her. And already there's people that are talking about challenging her. Susan Rice kind of briefly entertained the idea on Twitter. And so I think that, you know, Collins is certainly someone that's going to be in liberals' sights coming up in the next campaign cycle, regardless of what she does now.
How did Collins explain her vote, or did she? What was the reasoning behind it?
Well, I think, you know, she said all along that she doesn't believe that Kavanaugh would necessarily overturn Roe v. Wade. And that, so that's something that she was looking at. She said she hadn't seen any evidence of that. And then I think also she just essentially said that she didn't wasn't compelled by the FBI investigation to believe that there was any real corroborating evidence for Christine Blasey Ford or any of the other Kavanaugh accusers' claims. And so in light of that, I think that she basically was looking for a reason. The way she explained it, at least, is that she was looking for a reason not to vote for him or a reason why she couldn't vote for him, and she never really found that reason.
Okay. Kathleen, thanks a lot. Bloomberg News Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
John, thank you. At 6:55 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bob Moon.
The International Energy Agency has a sobering warning about the health of the world's oceans. The total amount of plastic waste polluting the seas is likely to more than double by 2030 and then keep getting worse if action isn't taken now. The projections of the Paris-based organization suggest that efforts to curb that pollution may prove futile unless there's a global revolution in recycling and waste management. According to research cited by the IEA, it's estimated around 100 million metric tons of plastic waste has already, quote-unquote, leaked into oceans, an amount that's increasing annually by 5 million to 15 million tons. The infamous Pacific Garbage Patch, which covers an area three times the size of France and holds the equivalent of 250 pieces of plastic for each person on Earth, may only contain as much as 79,000 tons compared to the millions of tons projected. The report notes that less than 20% of plastic waste is currently collected for recycling. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. We are watching the markets this morning. Stocks falling across Europe as fresh concern about Italy's defiance of EU officials added to an already gloomy mood across equities. U.S. futures are retreating. Chinese shares led Asian declines. Italy's 10-year bond yield ratcheted up to a 4-year high, and banking stocks sold off as the populist-led government refused to bow to EU criticism over its planned budget. Right now, S&P futures are down about 8 points. Dow futures down 92. NASDAQ futures are down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The CAC in Paris is down 0.9% as well. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.5%. The U.S. bond market is closed today for the holiday. NYMEX crude oil is falling, down 1.3% on a dollar to $73.33 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $8 to $1,197.60 an ounce. And coming up next, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.